roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our house, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show. I am your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goz?
Well, a lot's happened, but we no longer matter?
Well, I don't know. We do. Of course we do. But I think the biggest thing I wanted to highlight is we're home, man.
We are.
We don't even have the option to go to Mandalay Bay and kind of dip in and do it there. Like, no. The governor of Nevada has told everyone, you're on a lockdown. And we're taking it serious. I think we're on the more serious side. There's a lot of beachgoers in Clearwater, Florida that
what's wrong with those people
taking it serious. And then, of course, you have the conspiracy people who may be or maybe not be BSing online. You know, it's like it's just the flu and who knows. But I think we're taking it a little bit more on the serious side. So we're home. We're here to do the show today. There's no really the intro is this. The intro is this, man. We're at home. It's not like I can outline how we're going to go over a certain card that's upcoming on Friday, Saturday, or even Sunday. No, we're just going to break down some of the top stories that are out there. And, of course, maybe share some thoughts on this pandemic that has swept the globe and how it's going to affect MMA Junkie Radio, MMA Junkie. And hopefully you'll be with us for that ride because I think the best thing people can do is to not lose their minds and to just do what they've normally done.
Yeah, I agree. Well said.
All right. So buckle up, folks. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show on a Thursday, March 19th.
In 2008, a former D1 football star pulled off a robbery so daring and so strange that it went viral worldwide. It was a perfect crime story. There was just one problem. It wasn't the real story of what happened. The Sneak is a new, serialized true crime podcast from For the Win and USA Today Sports. You can subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or get it anywhere you get podcasts on Tuesday, January 14th.
All right, so let's start off with the big guy, Dana White, the most powerful man in our sport. President of the UFC, he did his first interview post these cancellations of the UFC London, UFC Columbus, and UFC Portland show. And if you didn't know that, yes, the UFC has postponed those fight nights. All right, they were supposed to take place this Saturday, next Saturday, and then April 11th, leading into UFC 249, which was to take place on April 18th in Brooklyn, New York, Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Tony Ferguson. That's the pay-per-view, the big pay-per-view. And that one has not been canceled. It's not going to take place in Brooklyn, New York. We can assure you of that because the state of New York has safety rulings that say something along the lines of, I mean, at the time, this is what they were saying. No more than 500 could congregate. I think it's been taken down to 250, 50, 10. I think we may even be down to 5. I don't know. And they may even be on a lockdown. And shout out to the people from the Big Apple. That's one of the greatest cities on the planet. And part of it, what makes it so great is just the diversity, the culture, you know, and millions of people in Gotham, man, that just, you know, coexist, you know, within these five boroughs, and there's just so much activity. They call it the city that never sleeps. I actually love that city, man. We were just there about a year ago with our parents for their 50th anniversary, and they're getting hit worse. I'm sure they've already taken over being at the epicenter from the outside of Seattle, Washington, where they got hit hardest, you know, that's where coronavirus first hit the United States. I think Kirkland, Washington, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, it's not going to take place there. It's going to take place, we'll say, somewhere, according to Dana White. And in this first interview that he did, he says, if you're not a fan, if you're a media member, you'd stop doubting, I would imagine. But maybe not. We'll see. So, you know, he's kind of like, I think, trying to be firm. But I think he also knows he was just firm when he said London was going to go down and London didn't go down. So then he explains why London didn't go down. He says, look, we followed and complied with all the rules. Every time they came out and said, I don't remember what the first number was. And then the second number was 50. And we figured that one out. And then we got the number down to 10. We're good. We can pull. But we can't pull. We're good. But we can't pull that one off. I think, you know, he basically knew he had to make adjustments. But regarding UFC 249, I think he wants to keep stressing to people, I have my own arena, I have my own production, I have everything. I have everything you need to put on events. So there isn't much that I can't pull off. And that's why he doesn't want people to doubt him. Goes, that's a lot. I know that's kind of a lot to unpack. But just as you hear all that, tell me how you feel. Like, is there an appreciation for the fact that he's trying to, like, ingest a little bit of normalcy to the sport, to his company, to his employees that read all this, to his fighters, which pulls away from all the bad news we keep seeing every time we go on social media or go on television? Like, is there maybe something to that? Because I know it's easy to just go, come on, Dana, there's more important things, blah, 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 which I've said.
Mm-hmm. No, that's kind of what I feel like doing now. I just don't see his motivation being that. It's the way he's been acting, the motivation just seems like money and getting these fights done. I can understand getting the fights done in that sense because there's a lot of fighters that have trained for these moments, spent money for it. So I kind of get that. And especially in the case of Khabib and Tony, that one I understand. But all the other ones, not so much. But I do have appreciation that he set up his company in a way. Like when that Apex Center opened up, we got a tour of it, and they can do a lot of things from there. So I do have an appreciation for him taking those steps to be able to do those types of things. But I'm just not so sure what his motivation is. I don't think it's to put smiles on people's faces.
Yeah,
I think there's a part of him that kind of wants to be the outlaw a little bit in this situation. That's just me, though.
Of life in general, the fact that he can keep trudging through. But like I said, goes, let me try one more time. MGM Resorts closed up shop. They said 2 weeks, could be a month now.
Why?
Well, they wanted to look out for the health. Well, for one, I think it was business, too. Tourist conventions weren't coming through. Mm-hmm. So the money that's usually there... They, you know, first they started closing clubs and restaurants, and they were like, well, let's keep people coming through the casino, I guess, and whoever has a reservation. But in the end, I think they realized this is kind of like a petri dish. I mean, this is just, it's not healthy to bring all these people together. Like, mm-hmm. I think that, when they started getting the reports of how this thing is multiplying and people are dying or people getting severely sick, they realized we this just needs to stop.
Not just for their guests. Our part. But their employees correct. As well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, but as soon that, as that happens, seems the right stance.
Right, but as soon as that happens, remember, I think I once heard there's 8,000 employees at Mandalay Bay. A few people got sick at Luxor. Somebody got sick at Wet Republic. Wet Republic is a pool at MGM Grand. The MGM Hotel. And Luxor is adjacent to Mandalay Bay. I haven't heard that anyone got sick at Mandalay Bay. But anyway, they're all under the MGM Resorts umbrella. So we hear about this, right? And we hear about people getting sick. And I know there's a lot of people that go, oh boy, that's a damn shame, man. I hope they come through, blah, blah, blah. But then when everyone gets home and they find out a paycheck may or may not be coming up, what do they want? They want their company to step up. Hopefully MGM Resorts steps up. And when MGM Resorts says, we're going to pay everyone for 2 weeks or for a month with your health benefits, you know, and you start hearing those reports, everybody's clapping and saying, attaboy, you know, way to look out for your employees, and that's great, and blah, blah, blah again. So isn't that a little bit of what Dana White might be doing, is still generating some money and to keep the UFC, I guess, afloat? I mean, there's 300 people in that building, the corporation, you know what I mean? So it's not just to put the money in Habib's pocket and Tony's pocket, and obviously he gets his salary, but there's still also a lot of other people that depend on it. No?
Yeah, no, I don't think you're going to sell me on it. I mean, it sounds good. MGM Properties is based on day-to-day operations, mm-hmm. right? Where the UFC kind of goes from card to card, right? So that's where the bulk of their money is made. I don't know. I don't see it. I mean, maybe the employees I could see. I mean, they don't have that many employees, you know, like at MGM or something like that.
Right.
But the one thing I always go back to is I think about why could the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, MLB do it? They do it, and you haven't heard a word from their players because their players get compensated well. They have rev share deals. They make a lot of money, enough where if they can't show up to work, they're okay. In our sport, the fighters just don't make that share. They don't get that share of the pie. So it's difficult for them to take that same stance because some of them are paycheck to paycheck guys.
Mm-hmm.
That part kind of sucks. So I think there's a part of me that thinks that that's why they rush to try and make this happen as well, because on the other end, they've never really done the best job of making sure everybody is compensated the way they probably deserve.
All right, now I'm going to go deep and personal.
Uh-oh.
What about the fact that if he keeps it going and there's an event, that means there's traffic on the site and advertising, and maybe our jobs are more secure.
Yeah, that's true. No, like, I mean, there's a part of me that wants to be greedy and just be like, ha-ha, we're the only ones that are kind of
mm-hmm.
have nothing to worry about. But that's not the way I was raised. That's not the way you were raised.
Mm-hmm.
We were raised to kind of think of family first, everyone, you know, around you first, lift mm-hmm. everybody up around you. So honestly, I think you're going to drive yourself crazy if you think that way. I'm just powering through and hoping for the best here, because, you know, this is going to suck early on, but really the reason we're going through this hell early is so that we have less time of torture that's going on right now in the world. So I kind of get that.
One thing I'd like to see is if they go through with this event, because on the 25th of March, so in about a week, Nevada State Athletic Commission is going to inform the UFC, I guess, and boxing, to be fair, and submission grappling and Muay Thai, whatever. Basically, the combat sports world about what direction they're going to take here in this state. But if they do, could the UFC maybe... Okay, you know how a lot of fighters stay at that Holiday Inn close to... Mm-hmm. Could the UFC almost just rent that thing and say, we're going to already start the quarantine process with the athletes, this is the safe environment we're also going to provide. You know what I mean? You know how like the Utah Jazz players got tested? Maybe the UFC has those types of connections where they test maybe the judges, the refs, you know, just so that we can get this fight off.
That would be interesting. You know, they all have to test
yeah.
before and all that.
So that,
I mean, I think that would be very interesting.
The actual 20 people that are going to be around the combat zone, which is the octagon. So again, the judges, the timekeeper, the doctor, a couple security guys, Habib in a corner or two, Tony in a corner or two, the cut men. I don't know who I said. I guess maybe even Buffer. I don't even know if we need Buffer or Joe Martini or anybody. But that, and then the rest of the people can be farther apart, you know, for doing what they need to do on social media. Even the announcers, they don't have to be there or whatever. But what if they did something like that?
That would be interesting. And I just don't know about, like, you know, you can only have so many people in one place, all that, how all that plays out.
Right.
Because remember, you guys have to remember, it's not just the strip hotels that had to close. It was all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that does, because they have to be staffed, right? Those hotels, if I'm Holiday Inn, I have to have my staff there. Mm. So I don't know how that works, but it's a good idea. And, you know, for the longest time, we've kind of heard that the UFC's toying with maybe building something on their campus.
The second story was kind of empty. Totally help. Remember the second story was kind of empty with the Apex? Those last spots were empty?
They filled that up, though.
They did?
Yeah, yeah.
You're at Apex positive? Center? You went upstairs or something?
Well, when we went up there, they said, this is where this is going, this is where that's right. going. So, I mean, you know, it was empty because we
had to store. You know, I'm just saying, start to build something. And think about it. You know, I'm not saying something luxurious, but, you know, the UFC may have to start thinking long term here a little bit.
You know, I
about
guess
about what they want to do, because if there's a lot of those types of fights, we don't have to wait till like April 18th. And then now what do we do? Do we wait till, you know, the May pay-per-view? And if they don't have these other fight nights going, like, why can't they say Tuesday night fights? And guess what? Now we have Henry versus Jose. I don't know. I don't know if every single one would be a pay-per-view. The UFC is creative. They have ESPN at their side. I wonder if they could think of something. If they presented some sort of an arena where they could safely house fighters and officials, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. All right. I might be off in La La Land thinking about outliers like that, but let's move on. John Jones, you know he was going to speak up after Israel Adesanya's title defense against Yoel Romero. Israel Adesanya kind of has spoken up when John has talked. These guys go at each other, all the big names, you know, the ones that potentially could fight. John kept it simple. But if I know Izzy, I know it had to have gotten under his nerves. This is what John wrote in a response to a question on Twitter. He wrote, "Yoel is almost 10 years older than me and almost won that fight. Without using his wrestling, that's all I'll say." Well, John Dominic almost won his fight. I think John should have taken another route. Now, that being said, John is the bigger guy by 20 pounds. So it's Izzy that's going to have to fight a perfect fight when he fights John Jones. I think John Jones could fight at a 9 and maybe beat Israel's 10 because of his size a little bit. But I think maybe that's why John kept it simple, you know, because he also knows he just got out of a close fight. Neither one was a split decision, but they were both razor thin. You know what I mean? Now, if you go back a couple fights, John Jones did fight a split decision against Thiago Santos. And if you rewind about a year, Israel Adesanya was 2-2 versus Calvin Gastelum going into round 3. So they've had a few that they've barely, you know, escaped. They could both say, "I'm undefeated," technically. There's really not much to poke at. So there you go. That's what John Jones said.
I think it's a good little jab to take at someone because, especially right now in a time where there's just not a lot going on. And I think John really does. I think it bothers him when people try and even imagine they're on the same level of greatness as he is. Because let's be honest here, whether you like him or not, the guy had to put in some work. He has a lot of physical talent, but you just don't show up with physical talent. Like, you still have to put in the work, and he's done it. So I think he feels like he's protecting something every time somebody comes at him like that. There was a point, though, where he was kind of like GSP, where he was just like, I've heard this before. Mm-hmm. Guys have said all of the things you just said, and I still come out and I blast them.
And he's got 11 title defenses. Mm-hmm. That was Israel's first.
But now he's seeing a little bit more vulnerable, right, in the last couple fights. So I think there is a need to kind of remind people of his greatness. And so I think he likes to take little shots here and there, and I thought that was a perfect time to do it. And it was actually pretty good. Sometimes less is more.
I think the message being, don't forget I can take people down. Although Reyes fought off a couple takedowns too.
He did.
So yeah. I don't know if it's because Reyes does have a wrestling background, young and athletic. Maybe John doesn't take people down as easily as he used to. But, you know, I think Yoel Romero, all those times he did take Israel down, he didn't complete the process. And I don't even think they gave him credit for him.
But I think he let off on it. It was almost like he just wanted to kind of put him on his ass for a second.
Yoel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was one, I remember, that he got in deep, and he was on top of him, and then he just kind of, if you look at his arms, he just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
It was almost like he just wanted to prove a point.
He's 42. Who knows if the back and neck, maybe there's just something to the process of the shot itself or whatever. I know that people would ask Josh Koscheck, "Hey, you're a former NC2A champ," and he'd say, "Yeah, man, that was 2001. Like, I can't shoot like that. I got a messed up neck." And anyway. All right, let's move on to another big name. This is all about news, big names today. There's no fight card this weekend, folks. London was officially canceled. I guess we should bring you up to date. You know, we talked on Monday, and I think on Monday, if I'm not mistaken, because we got the spinning back click and, you know, the Triple G show that Goz and I do on Patreon. So there's a lot of things that we're kind of talking excuse us if some of this is a repeat or whatever. Maybe we left out the fact that I think on Monday's show, we were still talking about Gilbert Burns was flying back from Brazil. Mm-hmm. He was saying, I'll do it. I think Colby even said, I'll do it. Of course, we're not sure he was serious. Tyron Woodley, we heard, wanted to fight Colby, but did not want to fight Burns. Then apparently Woodley did say that he wanted to fight Burns. Edwards, by the way, all this happened because Edwards pulled out, and Edwards gave his reasoning for pulling out. He just said, hey, man, I couldn't get to the airport in time, as they were telling me you had to leave when the president of the United States was saying, hey, look, all of Europe is blocked except for the UK. Oh, now it's the UK like 24, 48 hours later, you know. And he just couldn't get to the airport on time. He also knew that there was a chance, what if we couldn't get back, you know, with all these restrictions on flying, you know, all that, by the way, while there's still coronavirus up in the air. And he says, hey, look, me and my team, we got families. It just wasn't to be. And so that's why we get to the whole Burns and Covington stuff. Mm-hmm. In the end, there's no fights. There's no fights. There is no UFC London or UFC Las Vegas or UFC anything.
Yeah, and that we got that news towards the end of us recording our spinning back click. Yeah, we had just recorded it. I think you had just left, and then that's when all that stuff dropped. So yeah, as of our last show, you know, it's been pretty crazy, but I don't know. As far as like MGM Resorts, initially we heard 2 weeks. Now, yesterday there was a little bit of a report saying that maybe they were telling some of the Las Vegas shows to be ready
mid-May. It was like May 13th or something like that.
Was it May 13th? Around 13th
there? Or 11th.
Yeah. So this can only go on so far, you know? And I know that some cards are gone completely, but I really feel like some of the other ones will start to come together again. I think we'll get fights again. And I think some of the fights that were left off of these other cards may trickle onto those, I would imagine, right? Where you think they try and make up a new card.
I was telling people,
just make them a little bit longer.
I was telling people, why do we have to wait till a Saturday? Just grab a lot of the fighters that are, okay, let's just say the pandemic is over in we'll say June 1st or July 1st. Pick one, whatever, you know, I'm not trying to minimize what's going on right now. But whatever it is, there is going to be a makeup process. But Dana White has always said, hey, man, there's nothing more than going on a Tuesday to the Apex and watching fights. Why can't those, if they're televised, they're going to miss out on the gate. They can't rewind and go back to London. Maybe they can go back to London later in the year. But to give these fighters fights, why can't we have fights in the middle of the week?
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? To make up for it.
Every other sport does something like that, yeah. Right? The NFL goes like the off Thursday on a night Thursday, game, yeah. Right? There's Tuesday night fights in boxing, Friday night fights. So I don't see why they couldn't do it. I would love that personally.
Mm-hmm. We do have the Dana White Contender Series that's been, you know, it's been a hit the last 3 years. It's season 4 is coming up. Follow Nolan King on Twitter. I think he's at @MMA_Kings. But you can check out the stuff he's been writing on our site. He's already kind of laying out the 10 weeks and filling in little spots, things that he's hearing. So imagine if they could fill in, hey, on Tuesday night, we're going to give you 6 fights. 5 of them are going to be the normal format, and 6 is going to be your headliner. You know, a fight that spills over from, you know, what was supposed, that would great. Be awesome, wouldn't it?
That would be great. We talked about that, I think, on season 1, and we were saying, well, what if at the very end you just have a fight?
Yeah,
you
know? The main event, yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so now that you know what's happening with Edwards and Colby Covington, all right, so once the fight got canceled, then Woodley said, now you're only giving me Covington. Now the event's over, the ship sailed, I don't want Edwards, I want Covington, because Covington renewed the rivalry they had. Remember Covington, when Woodley was champ, Covington was chasing him down, and the fight never happened. So I think Woodley feels like, hey, Edwards, I was willing to do it. I was willing to fly to London. It didn't go down, but now I want Covington. It's a bigger name. You can't argue with that. You cannot. Covington is a bigger name. There's something there. There's a rivalry there. Edwards is saying, nah, homie. He goes, me and you are still fighting. Once this gets settled, don't be running from me, you know, because Edwards feels like he was trying to chase something down. And I see where Edwards is coming from. Up until a few days ago, Ponzinibbio was the only other guy I said, well, you can give Edwards Ponzinibbio, because Ponzinibbio's on a big streak too. Except Ponzinibbio's been having a lot of injury issues. But really, maybe Stephen Thompson? I don't know who else you can give Edwards that'll keep him climbing towards the title, you have to give him that veteran top three, top five name, and Woodley fits the bill. You could give him Covington, too. But remember, Covington at the time was coming back from the broken jaw that he suffered in the fight in December. So Woodley and Edwards made sense then. Edwards is saying, I still want Woodley. Woodley's now saying, no, man, I want Covington. Covington's saying, you know what? No, I'm just going to wait out Usman and Masvidal. You know, maybe he feels like if one of the two can't go, then that's where I slip in, which he makes sense. Masvidal versus Covington's big money.
If I were his manager, that's what I'd tell him to do.
And if Masvidal, if he can't go, then him versus Usman in the rematch is big money. I'm not saying that this moment that I'm calling for the rematch. I'm just saying it was a great fight in December. I wouldn't mind seeing it again, but I also thought, I thought Covington should probably take a fight before he gets to that. You know what I mean? Unless it's Masvidal, because that thing's along the lines of Dillashaw and Faber. You know what I mean? So there are a lot of great things happening at welterweight. And we discussed this. I think, I don't want to spoil it, but Goz and I did a video on
we
this.
We did something.
Yeah. So
I think, man, it would be such a slap in the face to Leon Edwards. It's not against him. It's just the situation. But when you think about it, this is a guy that had to endure the confrontation with Jorge Masvidal that never got rectified, right? Usually when those type of things happen, right away the UFC goes, well, that makes great sense. Let's put them together. But they didn't. You know, they almost said like, we just don't think you're big enough right now for something like that. So he's already been passed up once. And then for this to kind of happen to him again on the big show where he was supposed to be the headliner, that would suck, man. It really would. But and I'm usually on the side of the fighter in this one. But because of what's going on, and it's very similar to what's going on at 155, there's just this clog of great talent up top that you have to just, it has to remain a moving part. And so this would be the one time where I guess if he got shafted, I would kind of get it a little bit. I mean, Colby and Woodley, those guys also have a history. So who knows? There's a lot of...
My mind's going...
But see, the good thing, that's exactly what you're saying. That's the best part about the whole thing is no matter what scenario you get, you're going to like it. It's going to be fun.
Here's what I was thinking.
Great buildup. It's going to be a great fight. They're all great, well-rounded fighters, talented fighters. So whatever we end up with is going to be great. It just kind of sucks for the fighters.
I know how Dana and the matchmakers work. This is what would have happened. If Edwards or Woodley, if they would have fought this weekend and it was a snoozer, then there would be an opening for Covington to not have to take a fight. All right? Even Usman respects Covington, not as a person, but as a competitor, because they fought a great fight at UFC 245. So he may be willing to give him that reach. If Woodley and Edwards had been... If Woodley had smashed Edwards, then he might have a shot at the winner of Usman and Masvidal. Because Woodley was a former champion. He didn't have a great relationship with the UFC, but he had four title defenses. And if he smashes Edwards, talks a little bit of junk, he might be able to get it. Because then it becomes that negotiation game between Covington and Woodley. And if you're, you know, whatever Dana White, whoever Dana White is liking at that time and wants to pay a certain amount of money at that time, that's where he'll go with. If Edwards smashes Woodley and Masvidal beats Usman, then you got something there, too. You see what I'm saying? All those different possibilities? But now that fight's not happening, and I'm wondering, do you just put Woodley and Edwards on the same card as Usman and Masvidal, thereby guaranteeing that if something were to happen in the main event, you have an insurance policy, which kind of pushes Covington out of the way. Although Covington almost sounds like, you know what? You guys just play it out, and I'll wait for someone in September or October as well.
Covington has this weird attitude that he's just kind of above everyone else. Like, he's playing by his own rules. And he's done it so long that he makes us believe that that's just the way it is. It really is. Like, he could do that. Just sit back and just wait. And because he put his money where his mouth was in that main event, it was a great fight. I will be honest with you. I didn't think he was going to do so well against Usman. I think
that one's another one. Another one that was 2-2 going into round five, according to most people and the judges.
So I think the way he fought that fight, even though he may not be Dana's favorite, I think he probably won a little bit of Dana's respect that night. So that could happen, man. But yeah, these are great times for that division, and whatever matchups you end up with is going to be fun. But to put them both on the same card, I mean, I think that's great for the fans. It's great for the UFC because you have somewhat of an insurance policy. I just don't know how they're looking at it as a business now. You know, like, we need as many main events as we can. Or
we can only dream about it now because we don't know how coronavirus is going to impact, whether it's going to shut us down for 3 months, 3 weeks. But there will be some catching up to do. I guess my mind just wandered a little bit. We're going to stay with the Covington theme here. He had gone on, he had done an interview with ESPN, and he felt a little bad about that. So he went and spoke with Farah Hanoun from our site, and he told her, I want to make a little apology. I got out of line yesterday. I can be bigger, the bigger man, and admit when I'm wrong. I broke a promise of Dan Lambert, and I feel extremely ashamed of myself for doing that. I thought, you know what? I got caught up in the moment. I got caught off guard. No, not with Goz and I. By the question that he received from ESPN, and when asked about Dustin Poirier, and I kind of regret it, he says, I wish I didn't go so hard on him. He's a teammate. He's a friend now. We have no personal beef anymore. It's just business, and everything needs to keep calm and good at American Top Team. And I don't have any more issues with that. I just want to move on. He's a different weight class, and I'm going to focus on what's more important and what's ahead on of me, and that's either Marty Fake Newsman, Journeyman George Masvidal, or Tyquil Woodley. So remember, that's a quote. That's not me saying all that. But they even posted a picture on Instagram. They didn't keep the six-foot distance, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. No, they posted a picture on Instagram, and I guess at least we know that drama of what may happen between Poirier and Covington. We can put that to the side. Remember, Covington chose Habib over Dustin, and I think that's what set things off last year. So, anyway, they're cool. I obviously, by the comment of Journeyman George Masvidal, you can tell Covington and George Masvidal aren't cool.
How long do you think that peace will last? You know, some people would say, well, right on. Colby Covington kind of broke character a little bit and apologized for something, and things are cool. But do you have that feeling? Like,
the peace between Poirier and Covington? Yeah. Or just Covington being a nice guy?
Just overall, maybe. I think Poirier is a good example. But, like, do you ever remember watching pro wrestling as a kid when a heel would turn into a face and you would go, man, this is pretty cool. But then when you were least expecting it, boom, he was back to being a heel, and you went, he got me, or whatever. Like, do you think that's something that he really just did feel bad, and that's par for the course going forward? Or?
Well, I think because it involved Dan Lambert, and if you notice, everyone in American Top Team loves Dan Lambert. All it takes is, it's got to be something similar to, like, mom. You know, you could be bad and maybe bring home a bad report card or just a detention note. I don't know, whatever. And then you look at mom, and if she just gave you this look like, come on, man. Like, seriously, you know, you would feel bad that you let her down. And I think that's how Dan is. I think he probably just maybe sent him a text like, really? Or maybe looked at him and said, come on, you know, like, and I think Colby realizes that was worth breaking character for. Mm-hmm. Now, if you'll notice, that was a quote, by the way. That wasn't me talking shit. Marty Fake Newsman, Journeyman George Masvidal, Tyquil Woodley. He's still going to have to go. He's going to, I think, isolate himself to welterweight and just not have an opinion about everyone else. But remember, I think in that same interview, he was talking about Joanna. And, you know, so I think Dan Lambert's like, hey, man, fucking leave a strawweight alone. Leave the lightweights alone. Like, seriously, you know, like, stop it already, you know? Or who knows? Maybe Dan told him, you keep it up, I'm just going to kick you out of the I don't know. Dan Lambert's a partial manager now of Colby Covington. Belangi Group, I think, are the ones that maybe broker the actual fees for fighting, you know, the show and win and something like that. I don't know. But I still think that he's a father figure to him. So that's why it happened.
I agree with that.
All right. We'll end with this. Well, two more things. The two biggest names right now, arguably. So we'll go number two, which I think is George Masvidal. He went on his YouTube channel and said he's still not done at 155 pounds, but he would return for just one thing, and obviously that's a title shot, I imagine. I didn't really clarify it, but he says he never really got his fair shot at 155 pounds, even though he beat Michael Chiesa and James Krause, two solid lightweights. He explained why he had to move up, because it just tears his body to, you know, get down to 155. He says, I only carry like 5% body fat at 170, and it's all water, but it's torture. Plus, he's 35 now. When he was doing it before, you know, he was a little younger. It's not easy, but he said he would do it one more time for a title shot. Now, if he clarified, I never got my fair shot in the UFC, which I think he did, then I get him. But he once got a shot at Strikeforce at Gilbert Melendez at 155. Mm-hmm. I know this, folks, because I was at the fight. And he came up short that night. He broke his hand. But that would have been a major title that he could brag about had he won it. So he did get treated fairly at Strikeforce. He loves Scott Coker. But in the UFC, you know, he lost the Iaquinta Quinta fight. I don't think he did, but that I think that one cost him, you know, and anytime he had...
The Benson one on short notice.
Yeah, well, that one was at 170, though.
Felt like a victory. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. But just not being able to put streaks together, I think, hurt him because of the matchmaking.
Pretty much.
I think it was the UFC just didn't really have too much faith in him.
Yeah.
And so I understand why he feels slighted a little bit, but let's be honest. This is never going to happen.
He has to roast stump Khabibov as well.
He's never, he's really had to change his life around to be able to make 155. And now I think he's got more money, feels more comfortable. And plus the one knock on 170 was just maybe some of these guys would be too big. And he's done fairly well with some of the bigger guys. So
Till's huge. He went to middleweight.
Yeah. And Ben Askren's a wrestler, right? And granted, there wasn't too much of that fight that played out.
Right.
But he did get the victory, so I just don't see him going back. I think it's just something that maybe in the back of his mind, it's something that he would want to do, but on paper, I don't think it's realistic.
Yeah. And then lastly, Conor McGregor, he also, you know, was in the news, we'll call it. He says, I'll be in the octagon again soon and fully expect to box again. I already had a comment on this on Twitter. Goes, I was like, enough already with the boxing. Enough, you know, stop it. One of the first people that tweeted back at me said, the money, you know, yeah, I guess I get it, but that doesn't mean that I want to see it. That's why I don't want to see it. Do you want to see? I guess I'll see
not
it
at all.
You know who I'll see him box? Paulie Malignaggi. But
yeah,
I think what he wants is the big payday versus Floyd, and Floyd wants the big payday versus Conor, and fuck them. I don't want to put my $80 in their pocket. I still stand firm. We didn't pay for that fight. We did not pay for it. We got paid to watch the fight, but we didn't pay for the fight. I already knew what was going to happen. And
I can't think of anything I was more sure of.
I just think Conor is such an outstanding mixed martial artist from top to bottom. The press conferences, the lead up, but goes. I mean, when him and Habib were going to fight, I thought this is the one time Conor's just going to like move around and watch because he doesn't want to get taken down early. He fucking went right across the octagon and got in Habib's face. So much that I think he threw Habib off. Habib eventually settled, got his footwork right, his spacing right, his timing right, and then he went in on the takedown. So now you can look back and go, Conor, man, you can't make it that easy for him either. But that said, that's just the way Conor fights. Look at Israel and Yoel Romero. Conor would have been in one of those guys' faces if he was a middleweight. That's what makes him so damn exciting, and he's got so many things he can do at 155 pounds. And what he's saying is, I'm already rich. Me and my kids and the next generation, we're good. That's a quote. He says, the money's not why I do this. I'm a very rich man, and my children and those that come after. I find it hard to believe that it's not for the money. You're not a professional boxer. You know what I mean? You really aren't. Can you imagine if you were to fight Errol Spence Jr.? Did he recover from the auto accident fully?
I don't know if he's fully, but I think he will.
Mm-hmm. Crawford? You know, like,
dude.
Canelo? I mean, come on, man. He'd get mopped up. It's just there to make money. So then don't say it's not for the money, because if you're going to shoot us straight, you know, if you're going to shoot us with this boxing theme, shoot us straight and go, hey, man, there's a lot of money out there. You know, I want to box the guy again. I think I can get him, make a ton of money, and then bounce. I'd probably go, yeah, go get yours, you know. But right now, man, this is the sport that he loves, and he just needs to do it and stop farting around these late 20s and early 30s. You know, you either, because you're going to look back one day and go, you know, so either decide it's for the money or not.
It's not going to work, because part of the reason people bought that fight with him and Mayweather was the buildup, right? The boxing versus MMA. Now that we've been through that and Floyd has shown that he wasn't worried at all in that fight. I think Conor landed like one pretty good punch, but it's not like a wobbled punch. Floyd or anything like that. So what the hell's the buildup going to be like? Anything he says, Floyd could just go, were you not here for that fight? Like, you do not remember what I did to you last time? It wasn't even competitive. So there'll be no buildup. Fans already have that bad taste in their mouth of feeling like Conor had a shot. And
we run something by you.
Go ahead.
What about him and Pacquiao? Now, I'm not saying he can beat Pacquiao, but we know Pacquiao ain't going to fuck around.
I think Pacquiao hurt him more than Floyd.
So if you're one of those that says, all right, go over there and get Todd a lesson, Pacquiao will give you the lesson. Floyd will just dance with you. And then at the end, Floyd just saw basically an exhausted fighter with legs that were shot. Mm-hmm. And so he knew he could just go in there, you know. But he never like flatlined Conor or nothing like that. But
I could see the Pacquiao
could punish him. You know what I mean? It's a fresh matchup. And now if you just want to see, knowing that, okay, a real lesson is going to be taught here. That might be a different type of consumer that goes, fuck yeah, what is it, 79? Give it to me. But there might be the consumer that says, Floyd, come on, man, I already saw that. But they're not even close together. This is just an exhibition, you know what I mean?
That's a big difference, though. And the difference is this. With even Floyd Mayweather fans, sometimes you have to convince them to watch a Floyd Mayweather fight. He's just not the most exciting guy. So really, you're tuning in because he's fighting Canelo Alvarez, right? He's had some fights where just Floyd Mayweather fans just tell me what happened. You know, they're not really Manny Pacquiao fans. They will watch him fight whoever.
How about Molly Nagy?
That's a big
Molly Nagy's smaller. Good one too. He's smaller than the other two, just a little bit, not by much, but he's smaller, and he doesn't really present the knockout. Not that Floyd does. Floyd used to knock a lot of people out. Yeah, when he was pretty boy, but. But they got that bad blood. They got the footage. You could trick people there. Plus, so is Floyd removed from fighting in terms of retirement. Mm-hmm. Paulie may want to, like, right the wrong of the Artem angle. You know what I mean? And go, God, I can't retire from combat sports off that loss. You give him a lot of money. He feels pretty secure about fighting. That'll get him out of retirement. I think something like that, okay. But first, he has to go in here and try one more time. I think he needs Tony to win. I don't think he can beat Habib. And I'm not saying he could beat Tony, but I think it's clear he can't beat Habib.
I'm going to tell you why Conor McGregor did himself a disservice with something he said. And it was when he finally admitted that he just didn't train the way he should have.
That was stupid. It pissed me off.
It was a dumb thing to say, especially if you're looking to get the money from boxing fans. How the hell are they going to take you serious after you basically got ran out of the ring by Floyd Mayweather, and now you're saying, but this time I can get him. However, after that, your way of learning your lesson was to just not train very hard for what's arguably the biggest fight of your career in mixed martial arts. That's just not a good look.
Yeah.
You know, if you come out and you say that, like, if
you write that in the book,
or I'm
you
not do pay that, for that.
You do it when you do some 30 for 30 over your career.
You can
tell people about
it. It's one of the worst things you can tell people.
When you do it currently, it's I don't like it, man.
Especially if you're trying to make them pay that extra buck in boxing. You know, like, well, why am I going to do that?
Yeah.
You can't even take your own sport seriously.
And people might say, yeah, well, there's a 99% that don't, that they just follow blindly and they'll pay. All right, cool. Well, I'm not that 99%, and we got a show, and it reaches a lot of people, so I got to speak my mind.
Yeah. Now, you know, all that being said,
I'm not telling people don't buy it. I'm just telling you I'm not going to buy it.
For as hard as we're coming down on him right now, at the end of the day, this dude has been brilliant.
He's amazing.
You know, but I think he could have even taken it maybe to another level.
Right.
But what he's accomplished, what he's been able to do, it's insane. You know, he could maybe sit back and listen to us and just be laughing and going, yeah, but look what I've done. And it's true. But I think he could have actually done even more.
Agreed. All right. Well, there's nothing really to sell you for this weekend. There's really nothing, folks. Bellator doesn't have another show even planned till May. The UFC London card, which was going to move to the States, again, that's not happening. Neither is Columbus, which was going to take place next week. So that would have been the 28th with Ngannou and Rozenstruik. And neither is the Portland card, which was going to take place on April 11th. That's gone too. So We covered it earlier. They're still trying for Khabib versus Tony, and they're not even sure if they can get it done in the United States. I think first things first, Nevada State Athletic Commission has to rule about the futures of combat sports, so check that out. All right, we're going to leave you with this. On Twitter, I'm at MMA, and Instagram, I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at the Goes. Check out our video franchises that we've released in the last 6 months. Go to www.youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. Check out the spinning backlick, rankings report, and the off guard videos where we catch fighters and notables off guard. And lastly, a shout out to John from Charleston. He's a longtime listener and caller of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. He informed us that he has contracted the COVID-19 virus. And that's so sad. He used to call a lot as John from Charleston. He became John from Salt Lake City. So please think of him. Say a prayer for him. He's actually, you know, fits the mold of younger and in good shape and in good health. I think he used to competitively play tennis or something like that. But good guy. Obviously the percentages are on his side. But I do want to say this. For those of you that just think, oh, seniors only. Look at what's happening in Europe, man. A lot of people from the age range of about 25 to 40, I believe, they're also, you know, getting hit hard too. So look out after yourselves and don't be like them numbskulls in Clearwater Beach, Florida. Nobody said don't go outdoors, but geez, the way they were huddled up all over each other. Goes, how many times have you gone in the ocean? You come out with a little snot on your nose, or you know what I mean? Like that. It was like seriously, like. I could see a couple that lives together going out there and just creating a little bit of space. They got their umbrella and their towels and that, but it was packed. And I think if you're now in an area where it's packed, well, hell, you might as well be at the concert, which they've banned, or the sporting events. So they're trying to keep people away from each other. Also, one last thing. This actually goes for Goes too. I didn't even ask Goes, but how close are you all together when you go to Costco and Albertsons? And you have to stand in line and.
Do you, like they remind you? It's happened a couple of times.
You are first in line, right?
At Albertsons.
So you didn't have to worry about anyone in front of you, but behind you, how close were they creeping up?
We weren't necessarily like in a line. We were more kind of spread out in a group.
Oh, good.
Yeah, almost right. like if we were about to kick off to another team or something, you know, something like that.
Take it serious, folks. Seriously, yeah, we'll end with that. We'll see you all on Thursday with another edition of.
Today MMA, is
or Monday. Yeah, wow. You know, somebody actually wrote that. Hey, is anybody having? I saw that on Facebook. Hey, is anyone actually having trouble with the day of the week? And I'm really not. I know it was Thursday.
I have it a lot.
I just tripped up right now. But I guess we'll see you Monday with another edition of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. Go out there and be a champion.